204-DGS. We're out of here about 2:50 today. We'll turn it over to the guys for the pregame, then Cardinal baseball. Let's do some sports. We'll get to Cardinal baseball. We'll get to some big news in the world of golf. But let's start with Shohei Ohtani.
Man, well, so Shohei's going to talk today. He is, and by talk, I mean the reporting is he's going to read a statement and not take questions. Coming up at 4:45 Central Time. So it'll be before the Dodgers get their stuff going for the day. So over the weekend, Dave, we've actually had some more pieces put together in all of this through some really good reporting from the ESPN and The Athletic and all of that. They've kind of done the timeline of how this played out. There was a meeting within the Dodgers clubhouse when they were still in Korea where the owner came in and told everybody, guys, there's going to be a story. It's going to be bad. They kind of explained it. And the translator was there, Mizuhara was there. And he said, I'm sorry, guys. You know, it was me. I did this. And not I didn't bet on baseball, but it was mine. And then the president of the team, so there, John Mozeliak, a guy named Andrew Friedman, said to the clubhouse, Shohei was just bailing his friend out by sending the money. That's what it. So the president of the team said that. And apparently after that meeting, Ohtani was like confused and he asked somebody, he's like, what did they just say? Like, what was the story? And when they told him what was said, he's like, that's not what happened. I didn't do that. And that's not like, I didn't even know about this. Like Ipe did not tell me about any of this stuff. So it's really hard to know what's what, right? Because that story, I'm not sure exactly what sources have that, you know, who's telling that story. If it's Dodgers sources, if it's Ohtani's people, we don't know. But that particular part of the story is now him saying after the meeting, the team meeting, I didn't know about any of this. He's been lying to me. I didn't pay anything. I didn't agree to pay anything. I didn't even know about this.
Did the translator later corroborate that?
So then he did this translator, did another interview with ESPN on the phone, but basically said, they told me I can't answer questions. And they said, who's they? Is it your lawyers? Is it Ohtani's people? And he never clarified who told him he can't say anything else. So that essentially went back and forth. He was asked, the reporters were asking him, the reporter from ESPN, Tisha Thompson, was asking him, you know, did you bet on baseball? Did you just take the money yourself? And he just basically said, I can't answer. I can't answer. I can't answer. I can't answer for a lot of reasons. I mean, he is either he's doing one of two things in this case, right? The translator, Mizuhara, he is either committed $4.5 million of theft and is looking at prison time, or he's putting Ohtani's career at jeopardy and putting Shohei Ohtani into legal jeopardy because it is just flat out illegal. It's against federal law to give any money to an illegal bookmaker.
So just to be clear, let's say the first story is true.
Right.
That Ohtani's a nice guy.
Yep.
And he says, look, I'm going to pay these debts for you. And he does.
Yep.
Even that behavior of paying a bookie for someone else's wagering could get him in big trouble.
Yes. And they have
at least with baseball.
Yes. And according to the stories, the kind of the genesis of this is they have receipts of these payments of $500,000 going from Shohei Ohtani's account to this bookie. And so that alone, even if you're just paying off someone else's debt, that is not okay. That is against the law, the federal law. And it's also a major problem for Major League Baseball, right? Even if the feds were to say, you know what, we don't care about that. We just want the bookies. We're not worried about it. We're not going to prosecute that. Major League Baseball probably has to suspend him for that because baseball rules say very explicitly you cannot have any dealings at all with illegal bookmakers. They said you can bet on other sports, but you can only do that through legal means. You can do it at casinos. You can do it from like FanDuel and, you know, like all of the legal sites that are out there only in states where it is legal. You can't do it where it's illegal. So even if the feds were to say, not worth our time, don't care about that, Major League Baseball probably has to suspend Ohtani and probably suspend him a significant number of games, even if they believe he didn't bet on games. Now, there's another part of this, and I'm not going to read the tweets because I have no idea if they're true, and it's just a guy, it's some random person, no credentials, no media connection, who's a Giants fan. Giants are the Dodgers' chief rivals, who is telling stories on Twitter about specific bets on specific days on Dodgers, on Angels games, because Ohtani wasn't with the Dodgers, but on Angels games on days where Ohtani was playing and where something in the game notable happened that was related to the betting lines, and it's a day that Ohtani, like, there were big bets on days where, like, something involved his performance. And he detailed, like, a bunch of these, and at the end of his thread said he got the information from somebody who's with the Braves. And there's a story on ESPN that's outlining all of this that shows that former Angels infielder David Fletcher, who was a teammate of Ohtani's for at least 4 or 5 years, is now a Braves player. And he was at the poker game where the translator met the bookie. So people are now like, oh my God, this guy does have it. And nobody knows. And I mean, like, there's no evidence at this moment that says Ohtani has done anything other than either be ripped off or pay the debt for another person.
So for Ohtani to be okay, wouldn't it mean that this guy would have had to have basically hacked his account?
Yeah, or had access to it and just went in and did it. You know, like, as an example, you know, they're together all the time. You know, so if they're on the road and they're in the hotel and Shohei goes out to grab something and his laptop's sitting there and he opens it up and the account is signed in. I don't know. I can't imagine that's, I mean, like, I guess it's possible, but it seems like fantastical that would be the case.
It really does.
Yeah.
He would have to believe that Ohtani would not notice $5 million gone.
And that nobody affiliated with Ohtani would notice. I mean, this is a guy that I'm sure has accountants.
Yeah.
He's certainly got agents. He's got a baseball agent, but I'm sure he's got other people working for him. But again, that could be how it got found out as a part of it. Somebody did notice and like, hey, you know, that's not okay. Or what's going on here?
How much would he be protected if it comes down to, like, okay, I'm not from the United States. The person who is helping me navigate the United States is deceiving me and telling me, like, yeah, it actually is okay to send me money, or like coming to Ohtani and saying, I'm in trouble, I need this money, and not explaining, by the way, it's a violation of federal law. Like, could he be covered if he could prove that he really didn't know what he was doing was illegal?
No.
Right.
Legally, if you're in the United States, you are subject to its laws, and ignorance of the law is not a defense. I would be sympathetic to that. It would be if you sent me over there to do a radio show and I didn't speak Japanese.
And they translated incorrectly.
And they translated incorrectly and took my money. I'm personally sympathetic to that. But I don't think the law would be sympathetic. And it sounds like baseball would be even less.
I mean,
they're going to try like hell to save
it. Yeah, I mean, but basically what has to happen here is Major League Baseball, forgetting legal stuff because we have no idea what's going to happen there. Major League Baseball will have to state unequivocally, we are taking Ohtani at his word. That's what it would, again, unless there's evidence. The only evidence that absolutely exonerates him is evidence that the money was stolen.
Yeah.
That's what completely exonerates him. If the evidence shows that he did do it and did it on purpose and knew what he was doing, but maybe didn't know it was wrong, now Major League Baseball has to decide, even if we believe him, do we still have to do something? Because our rules say you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably have to err on that side, don't they? I mean, think about it. Trevor Bauer got suspended indefinitely over an accusation that he turned out to be not even prosecuted for. Not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying they took that action without the court process playing out, but they did their own investigation. I know that there were more. There wasn't just one woman that accused him. There have been multiple accusers. For all the bros out there that are wondering why nobody will sign him, it's because they know more than we do about his history and about other things that have happened. Whether they've been proven or not, they have information that guides them. And they were very harsh on that, and they're very clearly hard on gambling-related things at all times. Mm-hmm. So for this to work out in Ohtani's favor, like fully in his favor with no repercussions, the story that the translator stole the money needs to be true.
News out of Jupiter, anything new?
So they're not in Jupiter anymore. They wrapped that up over the weekend. They're in Arizona now for a couple of games against the Cubs, and then they'll be off on Wednesday and opening day on Thursday. No huge surprises. Victor Scott, the second, didn't make the team. Not a big surprise there because they expect Newt Barr to be back soon, and they also expect Edmund to not be too long. So they don't want to put him in a spot, I'm assuming, where he's there for a month and then goes back down because all the other guys are back.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I agree with that, in part because you don't have a lot of room for error. You're coming off a terrible season, and there's an argument to be made that you should have your best 26 on opening day when any game could be the game that means you miss the postseason. And when you're coming off a series season where you were 20 games under 500, do you really have the luxury to say, well, we don't want to be in the position where we have to send him down later, or we're going to worry about... I mean, I think you're in a spot where you should put your best 26. Mm-hmm. So the only argument against keeping him would be, we don't think he's ready. And that may be. I mean, he's never even played at AAA, so...
And in the world of golf, we have a twofer, back-to-back championships.
How about that, man? I mean, it's amazing. You know, you don't see this kind of stuff very often. It's historic. But Donald J. Trump is not only the club champion at Trump International, but he is also the senior club champion. And he was receiving both awards.
So he beat the seniors, but then he beat all the 30-year-olds, okay, too.
So this is the message he put out on Truth Social. He said, it's my great honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach tonight for the awards night to receive the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both! Exclamation point. It's a large and golfing talented membership. A great and difficult course made the play very exciting. The qualifying and match play was amazing. A large and distinguished group will be there tonight. Very exciting.
Now,
thank you. He put this out there as a brag to the world.
Yeah. I really want to get this
like it happened.
I really want to get this right. I'm serious. To a club champion, you have 25-year-olds. You have 35-year-olds.
There's no age minimum or maximum to be the club champion.
The best golfer.
The best golfer in the club.
At this club.
Yes.
So what are you guys saying?
Yeah. What's the implication?
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Yes. That's the implication. And is it a big deal?
No.
No. But it's so stupid that somebody who has been president of the United States of America feels the need to make this up, put it on social media, and then go be given the awards. What? That's there's something wrong with you.
Do you think
if you're doing that,
this happens at other golf clubs, like with
I'm sure that there are we don't even I don't know if people let him win or if he's just saying he won. Mm-hmm. Like, we have no idea. And by the way, there'd be an easy way to prove it. You just have some videographers out there on the course while the tournament's being played, and then we could solve this stuff. But yeah, I'm sure there are spots in country clubs where they let certain people win because they're important, or they just let them say they won or whatever. But there's just something weird about that. Like, if your friend did that, wouldn't you call him on it?
Yeah.
Like, if my brother did that or my best friend did that, I'd be like, dude, what is wrong with you? You didn't do that. You can't even golf. Why are you pretending? You're already this huge, massive, important person. You're running for president of the United States, and you want to brag about fictional awards? Like, why? Well, we know why, because there's something wrong with you if you do that. It doesn't mean that you could still like the guy's policies. You could still, but you cannot tell me that you think that guy is winning a tournament of any kind. I mean, if you've seen him swing a golf club, he's fine for a guy that just plays rounds on the weekends. He's not winning tournaments.
I could suspend my disbelief enough to think that he had the rounds of his life and he won the senior award. Zero chance an almost 80-year-old former pro wins the club championship.
I mean, I'm not a golfer. Okay, my whole family are golfers. I've been in golf tournaments where you'll watch... done charity golf tournaments here in town, you know, for various things. And you'll watch some of those guys play and you're like, man, they're amazing. This guy's amazing. This guy's shooting par. He's under par. These guys are amazing. And they're like 35, 40 years old. My brother-in-law is 33, 34. He's phenomenal. And he doesn't play every day. He's not trying to win club championships. He's awesome. There's no, it just, like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right, we have some crazy weather on its way. Dave Murray's going to join us at the bottom of the hour because we have a half show today. Cardinal pregame's going to start sharply at 2:50, followed by the game. Wheels, you want to do a short stairway?
Sure. Where do you guys want to go? You just want to have something somewhat silly?
Let's have fun.
All right, so have you guys seen the new, I haven't seen it yet, but have you seen the reviews for the new Roadhouse remake with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Dude, I tried to watch it.
Did you?
And I made it to the point where they introduced Conor McGregor, who's walking like a gorilla for
some
reason.
It's the best meme on the internet right
now
is Conor McGregor walking.
I could take everything else. I couldn't take that.
He looks like he's walking with basketballs under his arms, but like also like he's got to take a dump.
Yes.
Like, it's so, and he's like, he's just weird on camera. He doesn't, like, I know his delivery's weird. Of course, he's not an actor.
He's going to be. Because it's resonating with people.
I mean, it's making people laugh.
People are loving it.
Yeah. And also, I only seen a couple of clips, and I'm sure I'll watch the movie just to see if it's as stupid as it seems. But Jake Gyllenhaal's off. Like, it's a weird fit. Like, him talking
he's
tough.
He's a great actor.
Yeah,
I
agree.
He's my favorite actor.
Yeah, like, he's good, but it's weird. Like, he's not, I don't know, because I'm picturing Patrick Swayze, who's a little more of that cool, like, you know, he's not really, he was a tiny little guy.
Also, Roadhouse, the original, knew how bad it was.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. And maybe that's true here. Maybe it's super campy and I just need to finish the movie.
I don't know
if campy is even really a thing anymore. I feel like everybody wants to take themselves so seriously. It's hard to come by campy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the original is a really stupid movie with a stupid premise, but we liked it because we didn't have better options.
That's a really great one.
Right, and it was just fun watching people fight. Like, that's what it was. That was all the Von...
We hadn't seen that before.
It was all the Von Damme movies and the Steven Seagal movies. Like, that's just what it was.
Yeah.
We got better choices now. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. With Jake Gyllenhaal, do you think he's trying to take it weird? Because that's what I like about him as an actor is he makes very interesting, unique choices.
Yeah. And again, he's been good in all the movies that he's known for. I think he's been good. I don't have an issue with him. He just plays this weird in the clips that I've seen where it's like, I don't know. It's like he's trying to do the tough guy thing, but it doesn't work.
Hmm.
But I saw him in what was the movie where he was a fighter, a boxer.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was good. Yeah.
Southpaw.
It was really good. And he was good in that particular role.
Hero loves sushi.
I don't know. It was weird.
South Park.
That's my South true Park. Gift after all these decades.
Renaming
things.
And then I come in and translate. Like, what he means is...
He was great in Left Paw.
Left Paw.
He really loves.
And it tickled my brain. I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know what was.
Yeah, but I can't stop watching the different memes and videos about McGregor's walk. Oh, they're hilarious.
Crazy. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 235. We're out of here today at 2:50 to make room for the Cardinals. We have some weather moving in, so we asked Dave to be with us at a time that's not his, and he is accommodating because he's awesome. Dave, what are we looking at?
We are looking at rain. It's just taking its time, but it's in central portions of St. Charles County. It's not quite in St. Louis County yet. Primarily running from about Grafton to O'Fallon to Weldon Spring down to St. Clair. All the way down to pretty close to Salem. It's a little bit to the east of Salem, but it's a big solid line of rain and some small thunderstorms, but capable of very heavy rain. It's moving to the north and northeast, so it's really struggling getting into the St. Louis area, but it will, and once it gets here, it's going to be raining for several hours. So periods of rain, let's say it develops in downtown St. Louis about 5 o'clock or so, couple of thunderstorms, nothing strong, nothing severe, but some heavy downpours of rain certainly possible. The other big feature, it's been windy all day. Those winds will continue with wind gusts this evening up to 50, wind gust overnight between 40 and 45. So there could be some tree damage. There could be some power lines coming down. Tomorrow, kind of a cloudy, gloomy start, but becoming partly sunny slowly as we go through the day. It's going to stay windy on Tuesday, though not as windy, and it's cooler, 55 for the high. Tuesday night, a clearing process completes, partly cloudy, light winds, 29, so a light frost and freeze on Tuesday night. Wednesday, sunny and chilly, 52, light winds. Cold again Wednesday night, about 29-30, and Thursday sunny, a little bit warmer, but still a little cool, 62. And then here we go again, Friday 72, Saturday 75. Easter Sunday right now looks partly sunny, breezy, and warm with a high on Sunday afternoon of about 70 degrees. Sunrise is at 6:48 on Easter Sunday. Want to take a stab at the earliest Easter that it could possibly be?
March 28th.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Are we right?
Well, think about first day of spring, because that's what it's geared towards.
You're dealing with the wrong people here.
Yeah, I know.
We're not who you think we are.
I don't think at the best of times.
The eclipse.
If it has anything to do with math, we are
March 22nd is the earliest, and the latest is April 25th.
Oh, there you
go.
So
this is an early.
That's quite a swing.
Early Easter.
Is that because of the groundhog?
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, you believe what you want to believe.
Listen, there's a fantasy world where the Easter Bunny and the groundhog know each other, and they're making plans.
So, Dave, don't crush me for this, but next Monday, I'm going to take off to see the eclipse, and my phone tells me it's cloudy. How does that affect it if it's like a lot of cloud cover?
Well, you won't see it.
I knew that dingle ass.
I hate him so much.
Oh, he's so hateable.
Okay, 5 minutes ago, you were like, he's the best. He's
that's,
a comedy.
That's
best.
Right.
That's because we needed him then.
You know what? There's people in their cars going, well, Dave, you won't see it if it's cloudy.
Man.
I know they're all out there. They're saying
flickering flames of hatred.
You know, it will. The eclipse still is going on, and it will get darker. You know, because you lose sunlight for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I'm done with you.
But you're not going to see the whole process.
Headlines,
but let's worry about that as we get closer.
Let's do. Headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Chinooks.
You want me on early again? Forget it.
Oh, there could be a tsunami right now. I'd dig Ollie Remand up.
Reward yourself daily with the Chinooks Rewards app. It's time for headlines. 43% of Americans fear that AI will derail the 2024 presidential race.
Oh.
Because so many of us have a hard time distinguishing between AI-generated and human-created images.
Yeah.
Something you guys worry about? I mean...
No, but because I'm not being smart. If I were really concerned about it and really thinking critically, I'd be worried about it, but I'm just sort of...
Well, we already had the one out east where they did the deep fake phone call as Joe Biden saying, don't go vote today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, how hard is it to do that? The question is, how hard is it to get away with? Right? I mean, if people are doing that and they get caught, I mean, it's a serious crime to be tampering with elections, but yeah, I'm worried about it. I think it's so easy. It's so easy to fake something. It's so easy to, especially now, fake a voice where that used to be hard and you could tell. It's harder to tell now.
Yeah, the AI has gotten so much better at adding in those ums and ahs and, you know, stumbling over your words a little bit. Moving on. Well, I will say this. I think of myself as like, oh, I'm pretty savvy. I'll be able to tell the difference between the AI generated image and the human created one. I don't know. It's getting so good now that it's really tough. I saw a McDonald's ad on my Twitter the other day, and I was like, is that AI? I couldn't tell because the girl just looked so perfect. And I thought, is this a real thing? Is it fake? What's going on?
I should have seen this one coming. But after Kate Middleton made her announcement, I thought that everyone in the world would be very chaste and like, oh my God, I can't believe I made fun of that. But it just ramped it up.
Yep.
People are now saying that her video announcing cancer was AI, and here's how you can tell, and look at her hair move weird. And
the thing that's really disgusting to me are the people who are like, oh, look at what everyone in her family was doing while she, quote unquote, was battling cancer. And then they show pictures of like her sister on vacation or William like laughing with another person. Life still moves forward when people are battling cancer. I don't get this whole idea of like someone in your family is going through something, so you just sit at home and do absolutely nothing. I just think it's so cruel to bring up this kind of stuff and act like you know the answers to these things when you clearly don't.
Well, when someone says, I'm battling cancer, why don't we give them the benefit of the doubt and let them battle cancer? And if it turns out that they are a monster and they're lying and they're using AI, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
But let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Let's not start there.
Yeah, let's not start with you're faking it. Mm-hmm.
California saw its first fatal cougar attack in decades. California mountain lion has killed a person for the first time since 2004. It attacked two brothers who were searching for shed deer antlers in Northern California on Saturday afternoon. The younger brother, who's only 18 years old, called 911 from the El Dorado National Forest to report the attack. He was separated from his 21-year-old brother. I mean, it's just a terrible story.
Hmm. Have you seen those videos of hikers on trails?
Oh, yeah. When they get approached?
Yes.
Like the fake, the bluff charges the growl. Yeah, that's no good.
Terrifying.
I was telling you, we were watching a video of a guy who's buddies with his lions that he raised from pups. And they're just so big. Like the big cats.
I would still never trust them.
No, no. All big cats, mountain lions, tiger, they are the scariest, most amazing things on earth to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're just everything. Fast, mean, smart. No, thank you.
Did you watch Tiger King Wheels?
Nope.
Talk about what it's like to be around those big cats, and they say that it's just absolutely intoxicating.
It has to be. I mean, it's weird because I'm talking 18 years ago, we were in Myrtle Beach where those things are in South Carolina, and they had a pop-up thing set up at a tourist mall, like an outdoor tourist mall where you could take pictures with the tigers, but only the young ones. So like the juvenile teenage guy, they plop him in between and they put a bottle in his mouth and he'll sit there and you can take pictures. We did all of that. And it's awesome. It's like unbelievable you're doing it.
I tell the story. Wheel doesn't know it. When we were in Florida, we went to somewhere like an airboat ride place, and they had a guy with crocodiles, alligators, whichever.
Alligators, yeah.
And he had his son, Zeke, who appeared to be about 7 or 8. And he's like, hey, for $10, I'll make my son wrestle an alligator. And I'm like, make it 20. And so he yells, Zeke. And as soon as he yelled Zeke, this like 4-foot-long alligator just went flying across the pen like, oh, it's Zeke time. And Zeke just like a spider monkey jumps in the back of this alligator, like puts him in a headlock. And I'm like, oh my God, here's an extra 20. And then a bee flew by and Zeke goes, a bee. And he just took off running. Like Zeke is so uneven. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
We love you, Dave.
Just, I know
you
do.
You're just the best.
You're my favorite dingle ass. So while I think we should give all of the greats possible to Kate Middleton, this one made me laugh. I saw a headline on Drudge saying that because of her treatment, the queen is going to shoulder the extra responsibilities. I'm like, oh my God, can you handle it? Like, it's what a farce. What a farce. I'll handle your duties. Which are?
Show up at ribbon cuttings and things like that. That's what the family does. At least according to the show The Crown. That's about all we know.
So we're drawing on all of our knowledge of the royal family, but I think it's pretty
but they
accurate.
Don't, yeah, I say they don't have any legislative duties. They don't run the country. So other than making public appearances, what do they do?
Such.
Yeah.
I saw a 106-year-old guy today, and they asked him what advice he had. 106. You've lived 106 years. And he goes, you know what? I don't know anything more than I did when I was 20. Just do the best with what you got.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
It's probably why he's 106.